And we are live. Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I'm your new host, Gary Kester. Joining me today is two regulars. I apologize for the late start time today. We got other things to do, so cut us a break. But joining me today from the University of Arizona, Ryan Kelepier. Ryan, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm just still trying to – my eyes are still recovering from that basketball game.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Well, Matt Vazin was joining us, and it looks like he just dropped out. So hopefully he pops back.
He just disappeared like the Lakers defense.
My first time hosting, and we're off to a great start. Okay, so the Lakers had game number 2 of 82 tonight. And it was a similar result as their first game, at least in the loss column. They're 0-2 now after they fall 132-114 to Sacramento. And, looks like Matt's trying to get back in. There he is.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
All right, Matt Vazin, what's going on, man?
Going well. Everything's going well except what we just watched. I guess that was a basketball game. But yeah, all's good.
It's the curse of a Gary Kester sports team. They just all have to be terrible. Anyway, so back to the game before Matt interrupted us there. So the Lakers got blown out tonight. They gave up 132 points after giving up 112 the other night to a team that was the worst team in the league last year. Ugly game all around. What were some of your guys' main takeaways? We'll start with Ryan.
Just the team set up to fail. Like, Byron Scott was complaining about how they gave up 80 points in the paint, yet he had Ryan Kelly and Brandon Bass, two guys that can't protect the rim at all or rebound, and he had them playing a lot of minutes, and it's like, oh, well, yeah, of course you're going to give up a lot of points in the paint, especially when this team has, like, 1.37 good perimeter defenders. So it's like... according to him, it's because they're soft, not because his rotations are terrible.
Right. And there's a lot to discuss there. I mean, when a team gives up 132 points, it's hard to point the blame on one person specifically, but you know, it really does kind of start with the head coach, right, Matt?
Yeah, it does. And we'll get into Byron in a little bit, but as for the game, It's hard to say too many positive things, but you know, there were a few. I thought Jordan Clarkson looked really good tonight, and same with Nick Young. And DeAndre Russell didn't have like monster stats or anything, but I thought he, in the limited amount that he got with the ball, also looked good. But yeah, overall, I mean, the transition defense was non-existent. I mean, there's so many flaws all around, and that's what happens when you give up 132 points.
Yeah, and I think the stat of the night was the Lakers gave up 80 points in the paint, which was the most that's ever been recorded, at least in the last 20 years when they started actually tallying points in the paint. So good job, guys. Off to a good start this year. All right, so we talked a little bit about Byron. He had some quotes after the game that were really – they kind of rubbed me the wrong way because it kind of dates back to what he was saying last year. And let me read these to you guys. So this is the one that really stood out to me. He said, "Sooner or later, you've got to man up. It doesn't come down sometimes to X's and O's. You've got guys going at you. You've got to man up." Matt, what are your thoughts on a comment like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you know, in my opinion, it's just strictly wrong. I mean, I don't think the team needs to man up, as he says. I think there's just a lot of flaws, and it has to do with him. A lot of like coaching decisions that I think that he eventually needs to like take account and just blame himself, you know, a little bit, and say, you know, I didn't do a very good job tonight. I don't think that's too hard. It's not asking too much as a fan, but yeah, I mean, the flaws are just, you know, lineups that he has. There's the offense is just a mess for like too long of periods. So yeah, I think those comments are just completely out of line.
His Foxhole comment, and you know, there's just been so many times that he's, you know, just thrown his players under the bus, and you know, just, I mean, I don't think he's ever taken responsibility for a loss yet, so that part's frustrating. Ryan, what were your thoughts on Byron pretty much just putting all the blame on the players?
We basically just said it's just a way for him to diffuse the blame. It's, I mean, like, no, just saying to someone to, like, man up, it's like if you put Ryan Kelly on DeMarcus Cousins, it's like he can put all the effort in he wants. Like, he's not going to guard. Like put me, let me try to guard Stanley Johnson. I'll try as hard as I can. I can't do it. It's not because I'm not manning up. It's just you're not being put in a position to succeed. Like, if you're telling, like, D'Angelo Russell to play off the ball and he doesn't have a great game and because he's better with the ball in his hands, you can't just say, oh, he's got to man up and win his one-on-one battle or whatever. It's like, no, you as the coach, which, and he's the thing with the X's and O's makes it even worse because he's basically saying, like, oh, all my coaching schemes are fine. I'm putting them in the right place to succeed. They're just not giving the right effort, which is like really, it's like ridiculously far from the truth.
Right. You know, like I mentioned a little earlier, I'm not going to put all of the blame on Byron, you know, just because 132 points, it's not really any one individual's fault. But, you know, it's 112 and then 132, you know, maybe, just maybe, Byron, you need to man up and take some responsibility for this team not being able to stop anybody, because that's two games in a row now that they just, it's been a layup line. And it's been frustrating. And Matt, you mentioned the lineups, and that's a good point because some of the lineups are really weird. You know, I get the whole small ball thing, and it works really well with the right personnel. When you're playing Ryan Kelly or Brandon Bass at the five, that's not going to work. You're going to give up layups. Like, that's just,
yeah,
you know, that's not going to work. The layups or the lineups have just been really, really weird lately. And one guy that finally got minutes tonight was Tarik Black, and he didn't get many minutes in the preseason and the first game there. So hopefully he'll get some more minutes moving forward because he makes a lot of sense at the five if you want to go with small ball.
They could. There's some guy named Robert Upshaw. I think I've heard of him.
Yeah,
You know, he might be able to help protect the rim a little bit. I heard he's pretty good at that. Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, arms like a 7-5 wings. Okay. Yeah, I think that's all we got on Byron. I mean, he's been frustrating. I think we'd all like to see him take a little responsibility, but I'm not going to put the blame 100% on him. Anyway, so we got some really, really good questions from you guys, the fans, and we thank you. We love when you guys send us questions and comments. So we're going to answer a few right now. The first one was kind of interesting, and it just basically asked, who are some replacement options at head coach if the Lakers do decide to get rid of Byron Scott? So, Ryan, I'll let you start. Who are some replacement options you think would be good?
In a biased University of Arizona way, and a Laker way, I guess, I like Luke Walton. He's always, like, when Phil was around, he was always a guy that, you know, was one, maybe not physically one step ahead of the defense or whatever he was doing, but mentally he was. He always knew, he always made the right passes, always made the right rotations. He's just a guy that understands the game. And he's like, if, depending on how long Kerr's out, I'll definitely be watching to see how the Warriors play with him. I mean, obviously, they'll be a good team because that team's loaded, but just, you know, some of the adjustments he makes, things like that. Maybe another, like, I've heard Tom Thibodeau's name be thrown around. Like, the thing that scares me about him is I don't trust him to develop, like, Russell or Clarkson or Randall. Like, I don't trust him to use them in, like, a offensively, at least, in a way that they'll be effective. It sucks. Like, I don't want to say this, but, like, Mike D'Antoni, imagine him with D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson. But that's not obviously not going to happen. But yeah, I'd say Luke Walton would probably be my one. The thing is, Ettore Messina, who used to be an assistant coach for Lakers and now thinks with the Spurs. But the point is, like, you have to go at some point. You have to go out of the box. You can't keep hiring these retread guys that have failed in other places for a reason. And we were talking about how Byron calls teams soft. The Cavs SB Nation blog pulled up like almost the exact same quotes when he was the Cavs coach, and he just hasn't learned from the mistakes he made when he was coaching elsewhere. And so I think they just need to go with a fresh face.
Right, and I completely agree. I mean, we're still probably a long ways away from Byron Scott not coaching the Lakers anymore. And I think it would take a drastic start, like an 0-10, probably 0-15 or more, to get him fired this season. I would imagine he's at least going to make it through the year, and then we'll see what happens after that. But, Matt, are there any options at head coach that you would like if Byron Scott isn't with the Lakers going into next season?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's I would be really shocked if he was fired during the season, and then I would actually probably be surprised if he came back next season. So I do think we're going to be looking for a coach in the offseason, and I'm with Ryan. I like Luke. I think when watching him, you know, on all those years with the Lakers, and if you told me that, you know, this guy would possibly be like the next coach or a future coach of the Lakers, I would be on board with it. I mean, he's got a high basketball IQ. I'm also going to be tuning into the Warriors game to see how he does, but he would be one guy off the top of my head. I don't know. I mean, if we want to go to college, everyone's talked about like Kevin Ollie, but like, you know, it's tough to say because the transition from college to basketball is not easy. But if I had to pick one, I would go with Luke.
Yeah, I think we all agree. Sentiment and popular coaching people someday, and a guy who learned under Popovich and Phil Jackson. Really, no idea if he'll be ready in a year, but I do think Luke will be head coach down the line, and I think he'll do a pretty good job. I mean, he was a smart player, and yeah, he's learning from a pretty good coach. But you know, I think we'll just cross that bridge when we get there. Another question we got was just asked about Russell not playing the point. He says, why are they not just letting Russell run the point? He said, Aussie fan here, so don't get a huge amount of info. Admittedly, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I got to watch bits and pieces of it, he started. Can you guys hear me?
No, I didn't.
it like blocked off for a second.
Okay, so the question was, why are they not just letting Russell run the point? It's an Aussie fan here, so don't get a huge amount of info. And I didn't get to watch the full game. I only got to watch bits and pieces. But he did start at point guard, right?
I mean, by the official starting lineup, I guess. He did handle it a little more in the beginning of the game than he did last game, but he still really didn't get put in pick. Like, the thing we want to see, or at least I want to see, which I know a lot of other people want to see, is him being used in pick and rolls. I think he had, I was counting him because I'm weird, but he had, I think, one in the entire first half, and then in the second half he had a series or two where he had two or three in a row, and he made two really good pocket passes. Neither of them were scored because one Hibbert, I think, he couldn't finish, and then Randall missed the other finish. But it's just if you just kept doing that over and over and over and put him in a position to succeed, then good things will happen. But like, we're having him stand on the perimeter and wait for someone to basically make him a spot up shooter. Like, you're not going to get results that way, and it doesn't make him a better player. All these people have been saying he's got to. You know, he's got to be eased into it, or he's got to learn how to, you know, play off people. It's like, yeah, he does have to learn how to play off people, but at the same time, you have to let him get better at what he's already good at.
Right. Then, the most annoying, that was the most annoying part, because when they were doing the pick and rolls with Russell, it was leading to like high percentage shots. Yeah. I mean, they weren't falling, but like we were getting good shots, and then they just went away from it, and for no reason. Like there was no logical reason to not keep trying it. So I mean, that was just frustrating.
Right, yeah. And you, with a guy like that, with Russell, his skill set's, you know, really unique for, you know, most guys coming into the draft. And you just got to let him be who he is, you know? I just – too many times you get, like, a top prospect and you see coaches try and, like, mold them into what they want him to be. But it's like you just got to let him – you just got to let him go, you know? So,
yeah. Well, it's funny. Well, I was going to just add, like, I've even noticed they've kind of changed the game plan with Huertas. They've kind of changed the game plan with him in the preseason. He was, you know, pick and roll. And now I think he was in maybe like two or three pick and rolls tonight, and he hasn't played well, or he at least hasn't been bad either, but he hasn't done much because, again, he's not being put in a position to succeed. It's not because he's soft.
He's the man up.
All right. Well, speaking of that, we've of course got a another Byron Scott question here. So this comes this came to both accounts. Is Byron the one to be blamed with how the Lakers are currently playing? And there was another one that asked if the criticism of his was fair. So Matt, we'll start with you.
I mean, there's no way you can blame all of this on him, but he definitely deserves. Yeah, a large piece of the puzzle, just because, I mean, look, if we had a roster isn't, you know, a championship contending team. If we had a really good coach, we could still be 0-2. I don't think fans are frustrated with losing the game. I think it's just how they've happened, how he decided to play with Russell. You know, I would blame that on him, and, you know, lack of pick and rolls to go back to what we said. So I think the criticism is fair because, you know, the way he's manage the first two games have been pretty poor. I would say it's fair.
And I was going to say, I would say the same. Honestly, we knew coming into the year that the team would struggle defensively just because the personnel is not there. It's the only above average defender on the entire team, honestly, is Roy Hibbert. So it's like you knew they were going to struggle there. But then when you add that to not having the personnel and then doing something like having Ryan Kelly and Brandon Bass trying to protect the rim, like that's just makes a bad situation even worse, and that's how you give up 132 points.
Like Matt said, I won't put all the blame on him because, you know, when you have nights like tonight, it's not any one person's fault. But I also was kind of thinking about this too a little bit earlier. Because, Ryan, you mentioned Tom Thibodeau, and I can't help but think, if he was coaching this team, would they be giving up the types of looks that they have been? You know, I know their defensive personnel isn't great. It's not good. My thought is, if Tom Thibodeau was coaching this team, just for as an example, they wouldn't be a great defensive team, but they wouldn't be terrible either. I think they would be probably at best like average, but they might be a slightly below average. They wouldn't be a bottom two defensive team in the league for probably what's going to be the second year in a row, you know? So I do think coaching matters in a big way, especially on the defensive end and how you run your schemes and adjust to your personnel. You know, I don't know if they've done that yet. So, but.
Ryan, I was going to say Thibodeau definitely wouldn't be having the Lakers play a zone.
Yeah.
Like, come on, zone defense in the NBA.
And to me, this is a big thing for Byron, because if the Lakers are like a bottom three team defensively this year, when you have one of, if not arguably the best defensive anchor in the league at center with Roy Hibbert, that says a lot about you and your defensive schemes, because just having Hibbert back there should erase a lot of problems on defense. Obviously, it's not going to erase, you know, all of them, or most of them for that matter, but they should erase some and make you at least noticeably better than a year ago when you had, you know, Carlos Boozer and Ryan Kelly out there together and so on and so forth. So We'll see if it improves, but obviously they have a long way to go.
Well, I was going to say, too, is one reason why the defense struggles is because the offense gets, like, the worst quality shots, and sometimes they're hoisting up long twos or long threes, and those lead to runouts and easy baskets for the other team. And, you know, Kobe isn't – I don't want to have people, like, send me death threats or anything, but he's not a good defender in any way. Like, there was one play where he went for – he, like, went to try to, like, intercept a pass, and he missed it by, like, a mile, and then obviously, like, the defense was, like, broken down. It's, like, that kind of stuff. Like, that's not Byron's fault, but, I mean.
What kept happening tonight is we would take bad shots, and then we wouldn't stop the ball in transition, which is, like, they teach you that in, like.
That's rule number one.
Right? Yeah. So it's, like, yeah, of course you're going to give up a lot of points on that.
And it's funny because I feel like this is the exact same thing people used to say about D'Antoni. It's like, oh, their style leads them susceptible for other teams to have big nights. And it's like, I guess, or at least those teams could actually, like, look decent on offense. Like, we had Kendall Marshall putting up, like, 10 points and, like, 15 assists and actually look, like, competent, not whatever our offense is now.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers have been shooting more threes, which is a good thing. They shot 35 in the first game and shot 34 tonight, which is kind of, you know, like the whole analytics movement and all that, shooting more threes, which is fine if you shoot more threes, but they need to – it's about quality when it comes to that too, though. A lot of times the Lakers are shooting off the dribble, shooting contested. You know, if they're off the pass and an open three, like, great. That's a great shot. But a lot of times it's like Lou Williams or Nick Young or Kobe, especially so far this year, just shooting contested threes. And those aren't good threes. So, that's something that they'll definitely have to clean up. And that could help, as you mentioned, their transition defense too. So
there was a possession like sometime in the second half where Clarkson was down low. He kicked it all the way up to Randall, made the extra pass to Russell, wide open, look for three, hit it. Like, that's what we were looking for, not Kobe just throwing up threes left and right.
That's a good thing. Yeah, because there's too many times where Kobe catches it and he's open, and it's like he waits for his defender to get up on him, and then he'll shoot.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that play where, I think it was last year, where, like, Terrence Ross was guarding him or something, and, like, he fell down, and instead of, like, just taking a wide open jumper, like, he held the ball and, like, waited for Terrence Ross to, like, get up and, like, guard him and then shot the ball. It's like, just take the open shot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we're done bashing Kobe a little bit, the last question we got is just basically our thoughts on Jordan Clarkson so far. Matt, what are your thoughts on him through two games so far this year?
Really impressed. You know, obviously coming off a huge rookie year, I've been really impressed. You know, today he looked very confident, made a couple long shots, and this was good. He's a lot of confidence, and that's exactly what I want to see. You know, obviously the team hasn't looked too good, but one of the bright spots has definitely been Jordan Clarkson all around. I think he was 10 for 15 tonight, which is just phenomenal.
Right.
So definitely been impressed.
Yeah, with Clarkson. Yeah, he had 22 points on 10 of 15 shooting, hit 2 of 3 of his threes, and had 4 rebounds. No assists today, but, he only played 28 minutes and had 20 points, so that's pretty good. Ryan, what have you noticed about Clarkson's game so far?
He's gotten better. I mean, he's hitting his mid-range shots at a better clip. He's hitting threes, which that was one of the things I wanted to see him get better at. But I think, like, the most important thing is he's shown that last season wasn't a fluke or it wasn't some guy that was, you know, putting up big numbers on a bad team or anything like that. He's a legitimate, like, solid starter or whatever he can be. But he's a good – it's been two games, but there's a good chance that what we're seeing is something that he'll be able to produce night in and night out. It's not like a flash in the pan like Jeremy Lin 2-week stretch type thing.
Right, and he mentioned that during media day. He talked about he still has – this is why I love Jordan Clarkson. Besides his work ethic, the dude like just lives in the gym. Him and Randall, and Russell, from what I've heard as well. So, but he just has such a chip on his shoulder. You know, watching six or seven point guards get drafted ahead of him in his draft class, just lit a fire under him. And you know, he's always wanted to work hard. And I was worried about him having a sophomore slump this year because there was going to be, you know, some more talent around him, some more guys that can make plays and possibly take away from his production. But I mean, he's been efficient. He's been decisive. He's just looked all around solid. You can tell he's put in a lot of work this summer, and I just love the mentality that he has, the chip on his shoulder, and I think he's just going to keep getting better moving forward. So I'm excited to see what he can do moving forward, because the Lakers looks like they really got a steal in the 2014 draft with him. So. All right, well, I think that about does it for us. Did you guys have anything to add?
I was just going to mention, because Kobe said after tonight's game that he's going to it sounded like he realized that his shot selection and just the way he's playing is hurting the team, and he basically said that, oh, well, we're going to focus on, you know, getting Russell the ball and helping the young guys develop, like, so just going to ask you guys if you buy into that, or you think, you know, next game he's going to take another 20 shots.
Part of me feels like it's like I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually he doesn't say things like that. You know, usually Kobe, I mean, throughout his career has been very stubborn, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word. But, you know, he's had like this specific way that he knows how to win and, you know, how things need to be done. And he doesn't really falter from that. You know, he's kind of just stuck to his guns throughout his whole career. And it's part of why he is who he is. So, but we'll see. It was interesting that he made that comment. And, you know, I don't want him to completely abandon who he is, because he still can make plays. He can still draw defensive attention and make things easier on the young guys. But if he does take a step back and kind of lets them, you know, take control, a little more control of the offense, that'd be great. You know, the key to them is just finding that balance.
I think he will, at least for like the immediate future, step back a little bit, and then we'll occasionally get that like 8-for-26 game from him. But I mean, I think for like the next few games, I actually do think he'll like lower his shot total and take hopefully higher quality shots.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think everybody thought that Kobe would go into the post more in these last couple years of his career, you know, catch the ball closer to the basket and just use his footwork, because, you know, he can't really do it with, you know, speed and athleticism anymore. So, and it seems like the older he's gotten, the farther out the shots are. So I would like to see him try and get back in the post a little bit more, because, you know, it just seems logical, but I guess we'll see. I'd also love to see facilitator Kobe. So, I mean, only time will tell. We're only two games in, so we're in for a long ride.
Hopefully this is the last show where Ryan Kelly leads us in rebounds and Lou Williams leads us in assists. Hopefully we don't have to revisit that.
I think Ryan Kelly led the team in blocks, too.
Oh, God.
I know he had, like, two and, like,
one. No, Hibbert had, like, five.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
I was about to say, you know you're going to lose when. All right, well, that does it for us. Thanks to the fans that tuned in. Thanks to those that sent us questions. Feel free to send us questions anytime. We'll try and always get to them. So signing off here, I want to thank Ryan and Matt. Thank you guys for joining me today and putting up with me. I know it was probably rough. This is my first time hosting.
Nice. Killed it.
Yeah, I killed it, like literally. but that's going to be it for us. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.